Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking drones with attorney Ann Morgan from Fenimore Craig. Plus, Ray Hager and I speak with the pundits Pat Hickey, Jesse Wadhams, and Mary Lau. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program Ann Morgan. She's an attorney with Fenimore Craig, and her practice specializes in legal matters related to drones here in Nevada. She was also recently named a chairperson of the Legal Affairs Committee for Airports Council International North America, which provides airport attorneys a platform for new developments in case law, statutes, and regulations affecting airports, as well as pending airport litigation. Let's start out with a story that sparked the idea of this interview, which was KLAS, the TV station in Las Vegas, recently reported that a drone flew within feet of an arriving airport at McCarran International Airport, and the footage was posted online. The FAA is currently investigating the incident. What can you tell us?
Well, there is some talk at the moment that maybe that was photoshopped in and that it wasn't actually
really
an incident. But what it has, what it does bring into strong relief is the difference between hobbyists and their use of drones and commercial drone users, with the hobbyists who are currently exempted from the regulations of the FAA other than to register, and the commercial drone users being required to jump through a number of hoops to be able to use their drones. So it has sparked some conversation about whether the same rules and regulations should apply to hobbyists and their drones.
Well, you would think so, because, I mean, you know, if you, you know, the difference between commercial drivers on the road in vehicles and regular people, you still have to take a driving test. You still have to observe the rules of the road. I work with Brian Culpa Photography, and he does a lot of drone work. He's got his commercial license, just gotten waivers to be able to shoot in and around Reno. I know that it's taken him a couple of years to jump through the hoops to get this.
That's correct. The FAA, this whole area of having drones in the federal airspace didn't come about until about 2012, which is way behind the curve. Congress told the FAA to get things going so that they could resolve that by 2015. They haven't to date. We do have the certificates of authorization, which is what your friend is probably doing with respect to his commercial drone, but the hobbyists got exempted from that. Congress did weigh in to require everybody to register when they saw how popular this was going to be. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal today reports that they estimate by 2022, we will have 2.4 million hobbyist drones in the air. That's a million less than they initially thought, but that's a lot of drones.
Oh, it certainly is, and the ability for that to cause problems. How soon do you think that we're going to see the commercial drones, like Flirty and others, Amazon, delivering packages to people's homes?
Well, the estimates are within a couple of years. That may be optimistic. What you probably know is that about 2 weeks ago, Reno was sort of the center of the universe in terms of unmanned aerial vehicles, because we are in conjunction with NASA testing out at the Reno Stead Airport air traffic control management systems. I think they're called unmanned traffic management systems. And NASA is taking the lead on that. They're the only federal agency that's got any dollars at the moment. And they are trying to figure out a way to integrate drones into the federal airspace. When they can do that, then we will have that service you were just talking about.
Let me ask you about other issues which really haven't come up yet, but issues of privacy, for example. Say somebody is flying a drone over my backyard, and I'm not happy about that, and there's a camera attached to that drone. Can I shoot it out of the sky?
No.
Why?
Because drones are considered aircraft, and it is a felony to shoot down an aircraft. What you can do under Nevada law is if you can identify that drone, if you can identify that owner, if you tell that owner, hey, don't come over my backyard anymore, and they do, then you can sue them for trespass.
All right. So I remember a couple of years ago, I had a female friend who said to me, well, that's it for nude sunbathing in the backyard.
You know, privacy is a big deal. The way the federal courts and the state courts haven't figured out yet how to deal with the trespass nuisance issue involved with drones. What we do know is that if you have an area where you have a reasonable expectation of privacy and society at that point in time is willing to enforce that reasonable expectation of privacy, then you've got claims. You've got claims against the drone operator. You've got claims against the, even if it's a commercial drone operator. But the practicality of this is, how are you going to find the owner? We all have seen drones that have gotten into the way of firefighters, and they've had to ground the firefighting equipment.
Oh, yeah, the helicopters, right?
That's right. Most recently, we had that issue here in northern Nevada. The biggest issue is right now we don't have the appropriate identity, identifying little beacon or whatever in these drones. That there is a lot of discussion about putting that in all drones, and then you would be able to identify it or alternatively kill it.
All right, let's take a that's an interesting sidebar there. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with Ann Morgan after this.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking drones with attorney Ann Morgan of Fenimore Craig. You know, it's interesting. So you were talking in the last segment here at the end about identification that the FAA or some other governing body could actually shut down a drone if it was causing problems.
And that's one of the things they're testing out at the Reno State Airport. They're testing how they can create either maybe a geofence, some kind of a geo-wall that says you can't come into this airspace or we will cause your drone to die. Or alternatively, it will cause your drone to return to sender. They don't have that perfected yet, but that's one of the things the engineers are working on.
Another area that immediately pops up is terrorism. Delivering some kind of bomb on a drone.
I'm pretty sure that they have thought about that.
I am sure, too.
That is one of the things. The FAA has very clear jurisdiction whenever it comes to safety or security. So we know that it would not be against the law to shoot that drone down. But again, you have to figure out how big is the drone? How big does it have to be to drop what you are talking about? We know right now that the commercial drone operators cannot be more than 55 pounds. That's how large the drone can be. Has to be within line of sight. and theoretically has to fly under 400 feet. The question is, what happens if none of those are complied with?
And would the government have to get a warrant to be able to, you know, bring down a drone, or could they take action?
Well, anytime you've got a safety or security issue, the rules change quite a bit. If you have a drone that is flying, interfering, for example, with a firefighting operation or a law enforcement operation, my guess is that the federal government and the state courts will support law enforcement shooting that down for safety and security reasons. And then they will work out the rules down the road.
All right. There's lots of good things to go along with drones, obviously. I mean, here in our state, mining and agriculture are set to benefit greatly from drones.
Well, and the beauty of mining and agriculture is that they're not generally in flying in highly populated areas. They're typically in rural areas, more out-of-the-way areas. They're not flying over people. So I suspect that use will be approved and regulated sooner than any other use for that very reason.
What keeps you up at night?
The privacy piece keeps me up at night. The privacy piece. Because it is so difficult to track, because it is so difficult to recover, I worry that our privacy law, which, as I was talking about earlier, is two-pronged. One, expectation of privacy, and what will society support? I'm worried that society will stop supporting as much privacy as I would like in my life.
And that's where we have to leave it. Ann Morgan, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mary Lau is here, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada. Jesse Wadhams is of counsel at Fenimore Craig. And Pat Hickey is Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. And so let's start out with really interesting, not necessarily good, but interesting, and I'll start with you, Pat, about the pros and cons of Len Jessup as the president of UNLV. He's done what a lot of boosters are saying is an amazing job, but he's definitely got problems with a couple of the regents, and there's so much conversation about this. Why don't you take a piece of it?
Well, serving in the legislature, when he was appointed, I found him to be extremely personable and available to conversation. So I liked him, as seemingly a lot of people do in Southern Nevada, as we're hearing. I think there are some problems with the arrangement that was being made, much less the performance reviews that I guess brought into question.
Is this the $14 million donation?
Yeah. I'll just say this, that, you know, for the sake of Nevada, UNLV needs to do well, and they need to be successful whether getting rid of him is going to help or hinder that remains to be seen.
Well, it seems, Jesse, like they're about to lose about $39 million worth of donations right off the bat from people who, like the Engelstadt family, who wanted to be assured that he and the head of the medical school would be in place through the early years of that donation.
No, I think, I mean, I don't follow the politics of higher ed in Nevada as closely as probably some do, but just following that those storylines with the donors having kind of tied their donation to his presidency, clearly you've got a group of leaders and donors to the university that have taken a great interest in his continued leadership. So now we've got this divergence between what the regents want and what the community down there appears to want.
And Mary, the thing that concerned me, not that the money part doesn't concern me, and if this guy is doing a good job, as he appears to be from an awful lot of people in the business community that came out in support of him, but the idea that the regents now have a north-south split going on, and, you know, who's hurting who? Is there a south-south split? What do you make of all this?
Anytime a managing board becomes the micromanager, they create disaster. I can understand the Engelstadt family and what they're doing because they're sick and tired of all the changes. It's like you get sick and tired of politics in every phase of your life, no matter what it is. And if they can't develop consistency, support the people they have in office, lead, follow, or get out of the way, and then let them do their job, the very fact that they would tie their donations to longevity of management tells you that they're done with the Board of Regents. They're not done with Jessup. They're done with the Board of Regents.
Should the board be made smaller?
I'm in favor of smaller boards for everything, absolutely, because that tendency to micromanage, what you're supposed to do is set policy and guarantee that it's in place, guarantee it gets fulfilled. And get, you know, if you don't have somebody that can follow the rules on your policy, either adjust your policy, you have to find out if you got a policy problem or a people problem. And in this case, the people problem is the people that keep interfering in our education system.
I just think over a long period of time, there's been needless intrigue and drama from the University Board of Regents that I think people get sick of. But saying that, Pat, can you legally tie millions of dollars in donations to the employment of Len Jessup?
Well, I was reading some things from other universities that have weighed in, and the answer from higher ed seems to be no, you should not. But in the real world, like Mary said, the community down there has seen so much instability that I don't think they were trying to buy support for him. I think they were just looking for continuity, which when you have all these changes is something you lose.
But Jesse, it does look like they're trying to buy support, doesn't it? I don't know, at least at the surface.
Clearly the appearances aren't very good, and there's a, you know, there's some vagaries in the Nevada ethics law that kind of look like you if these things are tied together that way. But I look at it more like you're right, that the donation is tied to stability maybe more so than it's tied to something else. But, you know, clearly there is an appearance, because you have at least what we have heard about is a bad review followed by an immediate donation with this tying to longevity. So there are going to have to be things sorted out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all sitting here at this panel friends with some of the regents, and we know how hardworking they are and stuff. But again, if it gets politicized, you have a problem, and people, they're weighing in more and more with their pocketbooks, their votes, and their opinions. I mean, the public is just frantic about a lot of things right now.
And I just thought it was very interesting that one of the regents over the weekend made the comment, I think, to the Las Vegas Sun, that we're not responsible for donations. That's not our role. And I thought that was kind of strange, to say the least. Let's change topics here. So much has happened in the last few days that this is almost old news. But Danny Tarkanian going to CD3, Mary.
Well, I thought it was fascinating and predictable. It's again a race that's very, very important. So whoever comes out of the primary is going to be funded by the national parties and stuff. Right now, they don't have a lot of money. Danny was closer to winning that race, where it was a little surprising that he didn't go back and try again. But he has a tendency to jump around on, well, that didn't work, I'll try this. That didn't work, I'll try that. So I don't know that he's the strongest candidate, but he is a candidate that has major ID right now. I'm not too sure if it's going to backfire of the I won't play unless the president asks me to. So that was kind of a pouty situation, but we'll go from here and see what happens.
What do you think, Pat?
Well, the art of the backroom deal, I guess, has kind of come back in Nevada politics.
Slash tweet.
And, you know, I feel a little bit for the other candidates that obviously have been working hard and didn't expect Tarkanian to bounce over back into their race. But that's what politics is these days. They're as uncertain as the NCAA brackets.
And Jesse, you know, what does this do for Dean Heller?
Well, I think clearly Danny was going to bruise Dean Heller pretty hard in that primary if he won or not. That was going to be a very difficult primary for Heller to get through. So it all but clears the path. I think there's a couple other Republicans, but nobody of any import that's going to really do much damage. So Heller can start to define Jackie Rosen a little bit more and get started on his actual general election campaign. So it's a big win for him, I think.
Well, they could double team it, too, now, because Tarkanian knows the district. The two of them can go back and focus on Rosen, because Rosen has no accomplishments in that district.
Okay, but, boy, that's tough to see.
No permanent friends, no permanent enemies.
I don't, just, Mary, you brought this up. I feel kind of uncomfortable with Danny Tarkanian jumping from race to race, like he does, just a few days before jumping into the CD3 race, he was adamant, telling the Nevada Independent that there's no way he's going to jump. But then the president tweeted that out, and bada bing, he's in the CD3 race.
Well, that's kind of a joke anyway, because everybody wants the last day of registration surprise on who's going to file, who's doing what. 2 weeks ago, it was discussed on the street that Danny was being encouraged to move. So, I mean, it wasn't a surprise to anybody that he actually did. But, I mean, you've got people like Brent Jones that decided he wants to run for governor now. You've got people you've never heard. We have candidates out there that absolutely nobody's ever heard of, and some of them that you have that's good for a belly laugh.
Do you were you surprised to see that Congressman Reuben Kiewen did not run for re-election?
Oh, no. I'm sure when he goes, well, maybe I'll register, there's about a herd of buffalo that came into his office going, excuse me, that's not happening.
Ray, I was kind of surprised. I thought of the scene in Officer and Gentleman where Richard Gere says, I have nowhere else to go. And I think that's kind of the problem for Richard or for Reuben Kiewen.
And Jesse, you get the last word here.
No, I would have been shocked if he actually filed. I mean, the damage that would have done to his reputation and just the negative campaigning that would have gone on in that primary. I mean, it would have been ugly. So it was probably for the best that he didn't
And that's where we have to leave it. So much more to come. We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, former Congressman Joe Heck. We'll see you then.